Broadcast Network, AfterBuzz TV, over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
I don't know if this is the version from the episode, but I think we get the point.
I think we get the point.
What is up, Mr. Robot superfans and AfterBuzz fans? Welcome to the Mr. Robot After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. This is episode 4, number 1.3, underscore Damon's MP4. I am... Demons. I'm still trying to figure that one out. I'm JC, and here to break it up. My brain is still hurting from what happened tonight. This is the freaking trippiest episode ever.
Okay.
No, yeah, I agree with the trippiest.
Minutes 25 to 40, I was lost. And I'm going to need your help. Chat rolls help. And if you guys are watching us on youtube.com/AfterBuzzTV, hello. But let us introduce our wonderful panel of hosts, starting with the lovely lady to my left.
Hey guys, I'm Steph Z. You can tweet me at IAMSCEFZ. Would love to hear from you and your questions.
Bonsoir, everybody. This is Ashley. Oh, you saw how I brought that full circle.
I'm going to move over now.
Scared. I'm Ashley Chapman. You guys can hit me up on Twitter, Ashley_Chapman with a T.
Nice. And who's running the ones and twos in the back there today? Okay, not all at once. I think that's James.
All right, there we go. Thank you, James.
Wordy word.
Make sure to also, if you want to send us your feedback, we are live on the chat roll. Of course, let us know. They're asking, why are we late to our own after show? Because we are really trying to break down what we just saw. It's been
this was 10 minutes. This was a rough episode.
Yeah, what were you guys' thoughts?
Well, I mean, still favorite show ever. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, ever, I don't know about ever. But I feel like it wasn't as much of an emotional roller coaster as the other episodes, but more of like a brain boop. You know what I mean? Like a mind melt. That's a way better word than I was going to use.
Interesting.
You know what I mean? Like I feel like, yeah. I mean, I loved it. It was a great episode, but it was. I feel like there was like intensity in the last ones, and I mean, it was still intense, but I don't know. That's my initial.
I think there were pieces of emotion here and there, but I do agree that there were not as many moments of, you know, us really getting, I guess, those more personal. We got little tidbits about where people's characters are going and how they're evolving, but it was very, very different. This was a mind warp, but I kind of like that.
I like it, too.
I kind of like that aspect of it.
It was just different. I wasn't prepared.
I liked it because it almost seemed as if, you know, Sam Esmail was like, okay, they're going to be, their minds are going to be going in this direction, and we're all going to be leading to this point. And so he was like, okay, I'm going to flip it on you guys, and I'm going to take you all off track and put you in a completely different direction. So I feel like it was very deliberate, though. But I kind of like that aspect of it.
And I feel like this isn't going to be the first time that he does that.
Yeah, yeah. And you guys told
me it's only episode 4.
Bring this up. It was on whoismrrobot.com, their site, and there's a little Easter egg that someone found on Reddit, and let me give credit where credit is due, and this was, they build their world in great confusion to force on us the devil's illusion. So that could be that misdirection that we were all experiencing tonight. Because, in a sense, I think Elliot became more delusional because of the withdrawal. So it's even more unreliable. However, tonight I finally connected some dots.
Right. Yeah, a lot of dots.
And you have to go back to the first episode. Mm-hmm. Things that they're saying, everything has a purpose. And actually, Rami Malek was talking about this in an interview. He said there's not going to be a lot of B and C plots. It's everyone's going to be connected. You know, and on these shows, you're going to lay it out, and there's going to be these smaller characters, and they're going to have their own little subplot.
Yeah.
No, this is all going to be one through line.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Which makes it feel, again, to me, more movie-like.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. It makes you pay attention to everything, because everything, like you said, is very specific. It has a purpose. It's not, you know, we can't just sweep something under the rug. We really have to focus and pay attention and really, like, try to get the message of what's happening. And that's great, you know. This is a show that's very intent on you being focused and being with each and every step of the show.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. A fan already brought this up. I was going to bring it up later, but... QWERTY. Shout out to QWERTY the Fish. Come on.
Keith David. Shout out
is
to
it,
QWERTY.
Was it Keith?
I think it was. He has a very recognizable, distinguishable voice.
It sounded like Keith David.
Like Keith David.
Yeah, the fans are saying the same. Well, let's start about the show. Let's break down Elliot opening up in F Society, and he has a plan for Steel Mountain.
Yes.
And the beauty of it is he being empowered, that he says, you know, now I chose this. Yeah. But at the same time, he's unraveling because of the withdrawal.
Which again is the balance, like the play on balance that I love with this show. Mm-hmm. It's like once you think something's going in a certain direction and it's got structure, it's completely unraveling. You know, in the same sense, which is simultaneously when that's happening, it's kind of awesome.
It's keeping our tension the whole time. What I was going to say though is we understand that because we go through that, and that's, you know, this is his demon, but. What's going to be that aha moment? You know, when is it? I mean, we're still, this is episode 4 of season 1. Yeah. My problem is I want resolution now.
Mm-hmm. You got to just learn to hold your horses, JC. Got to just let it happen, man.
And this isn't something that can be resolved even just through one season. I think that he's going to have highs and lows throughout this entire series. Yeah. So it's something where, you know, we may have resolution in one area, but best believe there's going to be something else that comes up and unravels, and we're kind of like back at square one, you know?
Yeah, but in the same sense, they can't be trying to do this plan for the next, you know, rest of the season and next season,
of course,
too. Yeah. I feel like there's just going to be more twists. I mean, they could break into so many different areas of corruption with the type of stuff that they're, you know, talking about. There'd be so much to expose that they're gonna, I feel like they will complete and then move on, and there'll be another layer that you look underneath and you're like, oh my god, but that was happening because this happened, and now we gotta do this, that, and the other thing.
And going off of everything, everybody has a purpose and everything is specific. There's so many avenues that we can go in with this show. Like last week, the episode was mostly about Tyrell and his whole story and background. So I feel like every character that's on his show, we have the potential to just dive deeper and deeper and just get more and more of those layers. So there's a lot of, as we said last week, meat there.
And you brought up a great fact, and that was, there's just so much. I'm like, I got to hold on to this little nugget you said about what the show is going to do. And they said it in the episode where Romero was, I don't remember the other character's name. They were watching that hacking video while they were in the hotel, and they said, yeah, leave it to some other Hollywood writer that's now going to ruin, what is it, a next generation of hackers.
Yeah, he said, I don't know about you, but I've never seen an animated singing virus before. Which was awesome. Little rabbits across the street. But it is, it's kind of, you know, in very intelligent ways, they're making fun of stuff, and I like that. They're
making it seem
exactly. And how we perceive certain things that they only get, I think.
Yeah. It's excellent. Bravo. I love the tongue-in-cheek. So we get the introduction, finally get Romero, Trenton, we get to learn the names. And Sam Esmail said this was actually his favorite episode. The one we're kind of having a hard time with. Because he actually didn't write this.
Well, because he's probably stoked that he knows he's going to throw everyone the biggest curveball ever.
So you're saying this episode's the curveball?
I'm saying this episode, I think, just when you maybe thought, like, at the end of last week, I was like, okay, I think I kind
of
have
a slight grip. Yeah.
Not like a grip. I got, like, a thumb and a pointer finger around this thing. And now I'm just like,
Really?
Are you not?
No, it's just we missed you last week.
I'm
curious to what you thought you had the grasp on, and now it's gone.
I know. That's why I said. We'll figure it out. Moving forward.
Well, let's move forward. So basically he has the plan, and they're going to infiltrate a Steel Mountain, and he has this plan where, what is it, Taryn, get the HVAC at 95 degrees.
Dropping the raspberry pie.
95 degrees.
Yeah, apparently. I looked it up. The raspberry pie is like a credit card size.
Computer,
it's what you put in the computer. It's like the why is it? It's the green thing with all this, the board. The board.
The motherboard.
But it's a little board you put in the computer. And what it does is they're saying that It's a credit card-sized single-board computer developed by the UK Raspberry Pi Foundation with the intention of promoting the teaching of basic computer science in schools. That's the actual definition of Raspberry Pi. But, boom. So, what they're saying is, I mean, I like also that Elliot wants to do this plan, but he's not okay with the original plan, so he's trying to figure out a way to do it that might morally make him feel better.
Sure, not
so he's saying that, yeah, and he's saying that once there's a way to fry these boards by increasing the temperature to a threshold that they can't take and, you know, making all the memory go away, and he feels more confident with that.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, Romero's saying this is not going to work, we don't have enough time. That actually right. now, that E-Corp has actually stepped up their security, and now we're going to have to knock down five places if we don't get this Elliot's plan accomplished within a short amount of time.
Yeah.
So they're racing around the clock.
Right, which you know, the interesting thing about that scene for me was that they didn't really investigate more why Elliot had the information from Tyrell
yeah.
about it being August 1st, and I believe they said it was what month becomes
the 29th.
The 29th for March 29th. So they only had a few days to, which I think is really interesting too. That it's April 1st, which is April Fool's Day.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's an interesting play mm-hmm. on the timing of we're gonna, you know, everything that's gonna happen.
Absolutely, and you know. And this is my one gripe on the episode. I'm going to try to remember. It was, if they were working, I know we're going to get to the scene. We're trying to go beat by beat, slight, you know, in their motivations. But if they were working against the clock, and Elliot's main nemesis this episode was Romero.
Right.
Well, I think his main nemesis was
himself and his drugs.
Yeah,
From what I'm saying, the reason he's saying he's a junkie, he's a liability,
yeah.
we can't do
but
this.
But all that's true at the current yeah. moment.
Correct. But why, if they went through all this through the hotel, why didn't Romeo just give him the elixir from the jump, when he knew he was going to go through this, instead of waiting till the next day?
Well, because I think the way that he puts it is that he knows it too well, meaning that he had been a junkie as well. So maybe there's some guilt.
Oh, so he did it because of the guilt.
Because he was like, you've got everybody else fooled, but I know you're going through withdrawals.
Right, right. But the fact is, they have this mission that they have to accomplish within a certain amount of time. Why didn't he just give them this elixir from the get?
Well, I mean, he didn't seem fully comfortable with Elliot's plan from the get-go anyway.
Right.
Correct.
From what he says, you know, they had been planning this. This was supposed to be a very well-thought-out, very meticulous plan from jump. And he, in his mind, he thought that this is, you know, it's too scatterbrained and we're not going to be able to accomplish this in the way that we originally planned. So I think he is just, he's scared. And, you know, I mean, it's kind of like too many cooks in the kitchen type of thing,
mm-hmm.
you
right.
know. They had been planning this. I feel like maybe he at one point was sort of the head of this whole thing. And so now Elliot's kind of stepping in and changing the scene a bit. And he feels a little protective of it. Like everybody wants this to work, but he realizes that Elliot is unreliable in that.
Which is interesting because I don't think, and maybe I'm wrong and maybe I missed this, but I don't think we saw that shift. We just saw Elliot come in and kind of be number one. We didn't see what was happening. Like, we don't know who was kind of running it beforehand.
Yeah.
So maybe that's where a little bit of the disconnect is.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the common theories is that it's been Elliot all along.
Right, but then he wouldn't be pissed that Elliot came and changed the plan, because it would have been Elliot's plan the whole time.
Which is an interesting. I thought that too, because when he said that you're not Elliot, you're. So I thought that.
Which again, it's a lot of it's unreliable, so
it
we could be tap dancing down the wrong road right now, but you know.
Which we probably are.
But that's okay.
Yes. So, I mean, and you, Steph, you brought up the fact that Romero actually did feel bad for him. You know, the whole hotel, he had to go through the process and just.
I don't know if he felt bad for him rather than he related to him in some way, shape, or form.
I think he could recognize it.
Yeah.
It's just something you can, I mean, everybody else seems to be just kind of on every Elliot's every word, you know, like whatever he says, whatever his plans are, they're on board 100%. And so with him, you know, he just wants to make sure that whatever Elliot says and what his plans are, they're reliable, that it's actually going to work. And he just kind of sees a little bit past the halo effect that Elliot has with these people, because
mm-hmm.
he's so much experienced. I don't want to say smarter, but his brain works in a different way to where he can come up with all of these ideas, and they actually are great ideas. It's just, they're
right.
risky.
How good was it getting to know some of these characters, actually? That's the world got expanded a little more. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, Romero is a little more seasoned. We learn, you know, he's been there, done that a little more. So it's just fun. It's always been... I'm thinking your problem in this episode, you said it wasn't your favorite?
Not that it wasn't...
Is it because it wasn't as Elliot?
It wasn't bad. Like, it wasn't... I just really like feeling left in suspense rather than confusion. And I feel like that was the difference.
Yeah.
Just my own personal
preference. A lot more twists and turns. I mean, his whole withdrawal, hallucination, I don't even know what to call it. It went on for... I mean, and I know that it has a purpose, but it went on for a substantial amount of the episode. So for me, I guess I just kind of felt like, okay, what can I really grab onto? What should be my focus, you know?
You know, I hate to jump ahead. You were jumping ahead, but that's okay, because we're really, this is such the crux of the episode. Yeah. I think everything that went on that trip, when he was tripping out, that's going to play out in episode 8.
Yeah.
Episode 9, we can go, oh, this is why this is why, the key.
It's going to all tie back in together.
Yeah, so, and a quick shout out, I forgot to mention, if you're not watching us live on AfterBuzzTV.com, go to iTunes or SoundCloud, subscribe, let us know what you think, your thoughts, what you'd like to see us talk about. And actually, Steph, you brought up the fact that didn't Mr. Robot contact us on Twitter or something? What's going on?
No, we got a tweet today, and if you guys are out there watching, you know, we're going to situate it. We saw it a little late in the day, but they said they had some special information for us. So hopefully we'll be getting some information to give you guys.
Spoilers, maybe?
No, I don't think they would do that.
I know.
But, you know,
they might have something...
We're working on it.
So we're working on some stuff for you guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Stay tuned.
Quick shout out. That's awesome. Thanks. I guess you watched. That's awesome.
Yeah, nice.
All right. So let's move on to Ollie and Angela. And
I was really surprised at her. I don't even want to say evolution because I still feel like she's evolving. But just their whole, from last episode, she made a huge leap and a huge jump from being the sweet, innocent Angela that we're all, I guess, accustomed to. And it was interesting, the leaps that she took in this episode. I liked it, though.
You're starting to see the edges. What were we going to say, Steph?
Well, I was about the dream sequence real quick. Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
That the thing that I liked, though, that they showed us, though, they did show us, are we going to talk more about, like, the him being shot and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
I feel like once they showed us, as soon as he was in the dream, we saw that he didn't have the bruises anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys saw that,
yeah.
But he didn't have the bruises anymore, so we knew something else was happening.
Yeah.
That was interesting that they did that. That was all I wanted to say. But back to Ollie and Angela, I don't know if she's becoming more badass, so to speak, or if she's desperate.
Or has she always been this?
Here's or that. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, because even at the end of the last episode, where she took Ollie back so easily, you knew that she had there's another motivation behind that.
Right.
So you're starting to see she's maybe a little more of a schemer than what we thought. Maybe she is not that angelic figure that we always thought. You know, Elliot said it himself. Everyone has their demons. She has hers, and
she definitely has her demons. Yeah.
But I think I felt personally like it's the beginning of at least her coming into a more badass mindset, or you know, when she had her whole encounter with Darlene.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I personally felt like, I mean, it paralleled a little bit with Tyrell and him sleeping with the assistant from the last episode, and how that was sort of like a power, you know, it sort of represented like a a power scheme, I guess, with Tyrell and him just wanting to control and like own things. And so with her and Darlene, I think that Darlene sort of awakened this sense of power within her and her wanting to really step up and own situations and be more in control than she has been currently. So I sort of took it that as, you know, maybe she did have some, you know, inklings of that in the past, but I feel like now she's really stepping into it and she's owning it and she's really ready to just jump in and do whatever she needs to do to make stuff happen. Maybe not necessarily from desperation, but just
Angela?
Because for Angela, I do.
Yeah.
I feel like it awakens something
in her. I picked that up as well with Darlene in it.
But then it'll, I mean, Sorry.
I'm sorry. Did we say Darlene? I meant Shayla.
Shayla.
And Angela.
I'm like,
sorry.
What are you guys talking about?
Sorry.
We've been talking about Shayla and Angela.
And Angela, yes.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, you guys are... No, you didn't watch the same show as me. Okay.
Yeah, Shayla and Angela.
So, can you say that again? No, okay. I think...
Yes, I know where you're going.
I think Shayla's involved.
With?
Setting the whole thing up. How she said she gets Angela to take the drugs, then she's saying that her job is now over, she's switching jobs. I feel like part of her is to make sure Elliot's on his drugs, to keep him on his drugs, to keep him... Like, I feel like somehow she is involved in a bigger picture because she does the drugs with Angela, then Angela goes and does this afterwards. I feel like empowering her to find, look in the mirror and find your badass or whatever she said. I don't know. I could be totally wrong, but I feel like Shayla is a little bit shady. But I'm kind of in love with her at the same point because she's awesome.
You can tell all three of us are way down the rabbit hole.
Yes.
Yep. Which is exactly where I think they want us to be.
We're drowning in that rabbit hole. I love it.
Yeah.
My thought.
What are you guys talking about?
Shayla and Angela. Yeah. It almost, to me, it seemed like towards the end of that episode, I know since we're talking about them, it almost seemed like her relationship in this episode to Shayla was almost like Elliot to Mr. Robot.
I can see that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like it's like Shayla became Angela's Mr. Robot.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot.
I just
making out with yourself, awesome. No, I'm just kidding.
But you know what? In this episode, I felt like Mr. Robot kind of took a back seat a little bit. I felt like Elliot was kind of in the driver's seat for a lot of the episode. You know, usually Mr. Robot, he's the initiator. He's the one who's starting stuff. But it seemed to me like he really was not comfortable with the fact that Elliot was going through these withdrawals. He was not comfortable with getting Elliot more drugs and taking him to the crack house.
But that didn't happen, really.
I know, but that was what we saw.
Right.
If Mr. Robot isn't real, and if everything that happens between Mr. Robot and Elliot, it's these manifestations of what's happening within Elliot, for Elliot to kind of take a front seat and for Mr. Robot to now sort of step back a little bit, I thought that was interesting. I don't know. Now it's got me thinking,
I know,
is Mr. Robot real and Elliot's not real?
That popped in my head. What did you just say, Ashley?
Because during his hallucination, there was a voice that says, "You're not Elliot."
Right.
And then they cut. So it's now having me question, is it Elliot the one who's not real?
And there was also, because you guys out there, just so you guys know, we watch with closed caption or subtitles or whatever so that we can see sometimes too. And it actually had one that said Mr. Robot.
Saying you're not Elliot.
Yeah. Wait, where were you all episode, JC?
I was busy, we could be completely wrong.
We could be dying in the rabbit hole, but
there's no way that could be in the closed caption. Why would they give that away like that?
If you guys said it was there, it was there.
Yeah.
Because I felt like in the beginning when we were still believing that it was actually happening and Mr. Mm-hmm. Robot was getting him the pills, we were all kind of like, whoa, when the drug dealer or the guy outside the house was clearly interacting with him, we were
Robot.
Like, all right, he's real. But then we're like, okay, this whole sequence isn't real, so it played.
Yeah, that's true.
Brilliant, brilliant TV.
So should we dive into...
Let's just float.
Dive in deep waters here. Are we gonna dive into the whole trip?
Yeah.
The meanings behind the trip when he goes to his house, where it's 404 error not found. Yeah. That's his house from his childhood. The little girl says, "Hello, friend. You're not my friend." Mm-hmm. What is that? All means something. I want to know what it means.
I don't think you can.
The chat room will know. I have faith in them.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure that era 404, a document not found, it's an open space, which they show us clearly, you know. But I don't know why his house isn't there. Like, maybe he's not there. Maybe Mr. Robot's his dad and Elliot died as a child, and it's a complete flip of what we're thinking. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
You just broke my brain on that one.
Christian Slater is Elliot's dad.
I mean, you gotta think about it. The show's called Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know. Maybe.
You shouldn't have said that. At minute 24, episode 4, I think he just broke my brain now. I didn't think of that one.
Well, one thing I did like about this episode was just the theme of monsters and everybody trying to figure out what their monster was. And then this parallel of, you know, daemons, which is a tech-related term.
Right.
Pinpointing yes. systems or...
Yeah, it's then, a Linux
but
thing.
It also, yeah, Linux. But it's also an archaic meaning for demon.
Correct.
So it's this interesting, you know, correlation between monsters and demons and how they rule you, how they control you, mm-hmm. and how they really change you.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
It was really interesting to add to that because we see Elliot at one point in time getting the masks of mm-hmm. these monsters. So it's clear that his demons are himself in a way.
Yeah.
Not clear, but you can draw that,
conclusion.
You know, his yeah, mm-hmm. his demons are himself. So crazy.
I love the fact that in the Angela portion of the dream, she mentioned you're only a month old.
Yeah. And she ate Quarty.
Quarty was, I mean, that was just, I was like,
delicious.
What is happening?
He looked pretty good, though.
And they get married?
It was a key. It was the key that was like the motif of the entire episode. This, I don't, it was unlocking. I was trying to figure that out, and chat roll, you know, helped me out. What was the meaning behind
of the key?
The key, yeah. What is, was it him
unlocking
to unlocking himself?
Of course.
Or unlocking...
I believe. That's the whole key of the show.
I feel like that's so...
Too straight, easy?
Yeah, that's too easy.
Why not? Put the devil right in front of you. You know?
I don't know.
Remember what I read in the beginning, that quote, that Easter egg.
Right.
They're going to try to distract you with all of this, the theatrics, while they're just sneaking it right in front of you.
So what does he unlock, though? Because at the end when he wakes up, or I guess when he wakes up, his realization is he's alone. So was that what he needed to figure out? Was that he is...
His breakthrough, you're saying?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what I thought when he woke yeah. up, that was like a one-up. Like on a video mm-hmm. game, he just like one-upped himself. He's like, ah, yeah. you know, because he's finding out he's going to... If he's going to...
But he knows he's alone. He, we've heard him say, what do other people do when they're sad?
He feels alone.
Right, but he's not legitimately alone unless he's not there. You know what I mean? Like, unless
but maybe,
he doesn't exist. But, you know, it's like he has Angela. He has friends from childhood. Was that girl supposed to be Angela? I don't know.
Yeah.
No.
No, I don't think so. But, you know, he has, you know, it's established that there's this lifelong child friend. So he's not alone because he's still, you know, she's still in his life. So I don't know the whole, I mean, I don't
know. It's too early to tell you, right? You know?
Yeah.
Because I immediately want to say, oh, I figured it out. Oh, my gosh. In the end,
we're
it's
not
just,
figuring it out,
no,
dude. We're not
look close.
Jeez, my boy. We're not figuring it out in episode
close.
4.
Just like ownership.
It pains you. I love what's happening
when,
here.
Yeah,
you're
when
physically
Angela starts,
look at you. You're physically in pain. When you get withdrawals.
When Angela starts eating QWERTY fish, then I tap out. I'm like, I'm done.
That was too much for
but
you?
But it was like, then they got married. I mean, he was in a tux, looking
was,
dapper.
Yeah.
Love him.
Okay, so that goes with the fact that he's thinking about he being with Angela, and I know the fans got really on our case because early on.
I was saying it. I know. In the beginning, I thought that was an underlying thing, and they totally didn't like it.
I've got to email this thing to you guys. It's from another Reddit user. They put a like this little montage of all like the little moments between Elliot and Angela where it's obvious that they have a thing.
They totally have a thing.
Even from the first episode right before the announcement was made about E-Corp, when Elliot's looking at her lips, she's looking at his. When you look at... When you're friends, you
Are
don't look
really
at each other's lips.
Are they really a couple looking to take the world down together?
No,
Gosh,
Steph.
You gotta let your brain go there. You gotta let it go there. Why not?
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is all about. We're all thinking this way and distracted by this stuff. Yeah, just let your brain go there. Even if it's wrong, it's fine.
I know. Here's the thing. I wanted to bring this up, you know, because they've said some of their influences are, of course, David Fincher. That's what they absolutely admit to that. Sam Esmail and Rami Malek have said that. My wonder is, and they also said they love Breaking Bad.
Right.
And in Breaking Bad, I hate to bring this other show, it was, you know, Walt and Hank. you know, you always knew that eventually they were going to crash.
Yeah.
Right.
And so are we saying, you know, with this, I know he wasn't in this episode, but I got to bring him in. Is the crash going to be? I want to find out who's Elliot's alter. Who's the nemesis? The main nemesis? Is it Tyler or Tyrell? I'm sorry.
I think yes. I think there's a deeper from the first moment we met Tyrell.
Yeah, we knew he was shady.
I don't know if it's shady or they're in a bigger plan. I don't know exactly what it is. Can't put my finger on it yet. But there's. I feel like there's a deeper storyline with Tyrell, with Shayla. And with Angela and...
I think the last episode for me proved Tyrell's shadiness a little bit more. Because he clearly... His ulterior motive from what I can gather is that he just wants to be the head of Evil Corp. So that he can... I mean, I don't know what his ultimate plan with that would be.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think that's him. I think his wife's pulling the strings on that one.
But I think it's a little bit of both, because I caught a little snippet of the trailer for next week, and I think it was Tyrell coming into... Well, it was Tyrell coming into his house with, I think it was his wife that I saw.
Right.
And he'd made a comment, you know, like, if I were you, I wouldn't let me into the house, or something like that. So he kind of said something threatening or menacing.
Really?
I might have misheard it, but that was something that really caught me in the trailer for next week.
Kind of like Walter White, I am the danger?
Like that. So it could be a mix of both, of them both having their own motives, and then they're just, you know, you scratch my back, I scratch yours type of thing.
And a quick shout out to Sylvia Love. I feel after this season, we are going to have to rewatch the show.
Not after this season, this episode. Yeah. I'm going home tonight.
Yeah. I've rewatched all of them so
Have
far.
You?
Yeah.
I just
because
think...
it's just you see little things, and now that you know where it's gone, you see little, you know, nuggets of them leading you there.
Yeah. So, well, now we've devoted so much to the dream. Now let's go on to
bring it back.
For once, plot point B with Darlene and Trenton on their search for the Black Army. And this one, this is the first one. I was so happy. I guess I said, I guarantee the Black Army guy was going to be Darlene's ex-boyfriend.
Really?
From episode one. Yeah, because she brought it up how she was so, this guy was like in love with her. I don't know if you remember that.
I don't remember. Episode two? With the CD?
Episode one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's right.
And I knew that was going to be the guy. Finally, I was like, I finally got one thing right. That's all what it's about. I'm sorry.
No, it's not about being right. But, no, I'm just kidding. No, yeah, I thought that was an interesting twist, that he was the Dark Army guy that she was going to.
No, because we saw something more of Darlene now. We saw Darlene, because Darlene's always been the wisecracking, you know.
We saw that she's smart and she's using the power of the woman to get what she wants.
Yeah, are you calling powers of persuasion.
They're
dangerous.
Are you calling it a woman move? Both of you guys?
Are you serious? Are you not?
There have been a lot of women moves. Even between Angela and Shayla.
You would have ate it up. Yeah. She doesn't like him. She started kissing him, making out with him after she was like yelling at him in front of his friends to embarrass him or his coworkers. And then as soon as she wanted something, she's like, come here, bring it in close, baby.
Even between Angela and Shayla, that's still the powers of the female persuasion.
Yeah.
I thought it was... See, I saw it from the perspective that this is... She was showing her demon, her vulnerability, the fact that she's really... She's idealistic and the fact she really wants this to happen. Not for the fact, like, let's say Tyrell, who will stop at nothing to get
it
accomplished.
You're really cute, but no. That's not... She is not like, oh, I really want this to happen. Please help me. Oh, you're the best. Thank you. No. It's right. Let me play with you so I can get what I want. Come on, look who we're dealing with, Darlene. She's like broke into his house. She's like, she manipulates everything.
Yeah.
Come on.
YouTubers, who's right here? I know the girls are, but I'm just, throw me a nugget.
That's the answer. You better say there, yeah.
Throw me a bone.
The girls are always right.
I mean, maybe we have, you know, experience getting things we want, though.
What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Break the girl code.
I can't.
Know, right?
Yes, and this would be a good time to say, Steve Kaufman, come back next week. We need you next week. He'll be back next week. So, I'm trying to think. Anything else that we need to get through here? No, I think that's about it. You know, do we need to talk more about the? I know you wanted to talk about the anything we missed, the crack house or anything like that.
No, I thought it was. I mean, I'm sure there's so many things in there. You know, the thing that stood out for me, too, was the fact that they took it there that he was going from the pills to the needles. So I feel like that showed some type of downward spiral or some type of intensity. I feel like there was a lot of things in that set, that dream sequence, whatever you want to call it, that were very intense. And I feel like there were a lot of clues in there. I'm not sure I know all of them, but I feel like that was... like, they didn't have to do that. He could have just went in there and got his pills, and then the same exact situation could have happened. Mm-hmm. But it was showing his desperation, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so...
Yeah. But, I mean, just going back to the whole idea of him being alone, too, I don't know why that struck me so much. And I don't know. I mean, yes, there's a huge possibility that Elliot and Angela, there's something there and that they possibly might end up together. But for me, I kind of feel like their relationship, for him, it's just more of his stability. It's his comfort. It's where he draws his, you know, just his level-headedness from.
Are you turning
the back on us?
I am, because all what you're saying is all women are manipulative. I can't even say it right now.
Yeah. The chat roll's
even agreeing with me. Patrick, all the guys are sucker for this. They're like, it's okay, JC. I thought the same thing, too, until the girls pointed it out. Fudge, man.
Those powers, you know what? They're magical.
They are. So the thing about the dream for me and the aloneness is I feel like it was very extreme. Like, again, we went to the pills extreme, and then we went to, like, marriage, another extreme. So maybe this is just an inside to how Elliot's brain works a little bit. You know, it's the things he extremely, like, maybe nothing has happened between him and Angela, but in his head he wishes that it was.
But I think that it's more so coming from a place of just him wanting to feel more normal, you know, because in the last episode, that was the whole, I guess, premise behind, you know, him doing the whole Starbucks thing and, you know, like, just trying to have a girlfriend and that whole thing. Like, he just wanted to fit in. He just wanted to be normal. He didn't want to have this responsibility. And so him unlocking this whatever it is that he unlocked within himself, I think he's realizing that, you know, I can't be normal. I kind of have to do this, like, by myself. And I thought that the extremes of him and Shayla getting together or getting married or whatever it is the relationship was.
You got to get these names straight, girl. You're confusing me.
Yeah, we got to, because...
I was like, what are you talking about?
My brain is... I need to, like...
We're all brains are fried.
I need to,
like, wish you, girl,
right,
I got
now.
You. Keep going. I'm listening.
Oh, my gosh. Like, give me some water. But, yeah, so I think that was an extreme for him. Again, of just wanting to feel like he has something normal, something stable. I mean, everything that's going on with the withdrawals, everything that's happening with F Society, like, it's all shaking him in a way that he's never been shaken before. And I think that a part of him going through everything was just him trying to find something that was comforting, that was familiar to him. And so that's what I feel like their relationship is. I get some inklings of romanticness happening between the two of them, but for me, I just kind of feel like that's his center. That's his comfort.
It could be a romantic fantasy, too. I'm not saying that they're going to, like, hook up and get married. Yeah. I'm just saying in his... I mean, I feel like, really, with love and when you're in a relationship with someone, the true definition of that is finding someone that makes you feel at home. And I feel Angela makes him feel at home, so that's what he's grasping for. Whether or not it goes sexual...
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's going to be tough, because since they've had that relationship since they were eight.
And Shayla's such a fun character.
Yeah.
That's a lot to mortgage on exploring love between the two of them, I think.
Shayla's just fun.
Yeah.
I love Shayla, but I definitely think she's got a bigger part in this than we know yet.
It's going to go down with Shayla and Angela.
That's People are even saying Darlene is the Tyrell of F Society. That's what superfan Derek Zeto said. So.
Ooh, maybe. Mm.
We'll never know. We're going to be...
We're going to know, man.
Every week we're going to keep doing, oh, Mr. Robot's not real. Oh, Elliot's not real. I'm not real.
Clearly.
JC is fake.
No, I'm just kidding. No, but I don't think that's the point, really. Like, I don't know that we're trying to... There's a bigger picture that now that we're four episodes in, we see, rather than being like, who's real?
Yeah.
What's the unreliable narrative? It's like, clearly they're taking us down a story. We just need to allow them and try and look for the clues along the way, you know what I mean?
And there's so much commentary too on this show that I think is, it's great. It should be recognized, you know, just especially in this episode alone. I think I read somewhere that the whole Raspberry Pi plan, it was kind of similar to the Target hack that happened. I think it was like maybe a year or so ago where somebody had hacked into Target server and they were able to steal a bunch of like money through Chase and the credit cards. So, I mean, for me, I really like about this show is that it's very current and it speaks a lot about the stuff that's happening right now. Like, it's almost eerie. I almost feel like a lot of the episodes are written, you know, they've been written way, way, way in the past, but you know, it's still very current. It's like stuff that's happening in the news right now today.
It's a wake up call. And that's what I think Sam Esmail is trying to tell us. Down to the smallest point in interviews, he talks about changing your password every few weeks. Rami Malek did it on a Periscope, which we'll get in news and gossip here in a second. But yeah, he changes his password every 3 weeks.
Right. I change mine every day now. I don't leave anything to anybody.
Oh, I saw it. I have to say password. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Okay,
so I change it every hour.
Use those powers of persuasion.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Spell it out. Okay, so a little wrap up on any final thoughts on the episode before we move to news and gossip and predictions. Another great episode. Well,
yeah.
And not as a split decision on how great the episode was.
No, I thought it was great.
Was I inferring to you? Okay, yeah, I was.
You totally. But no, I thought it was great. Like I said, it left me feeling something a little bit different than the previous episodes have left me feeling. Yeah. So that was not uncomfortable, but that was like, interesting. It's a little bit of a curveball.
Yeah. I think it was needed.
Yeah. This super was, needed.
This
super
is, this
smart.
Is needed to move. Not necessarily the character of Elliot, but the story itself. Like
totally.
All the supporting cast.
Right.
And I think we need that. So,
and just for us as an audience, too.
Yeah.
We've been getting so hung up on what we think is real and what's not real,
right.
What's happening. Now it's forcing me to just say, okay, let me just watch the show. Like, I'm not going to try and get super hung up and caught up on what I think is happening. I'm just going to let things happen. And then we will see what happens. So.
All right, well said. So let's move on to some newsy, gossipy stuff.
AfterBuzz TV.
Could we really even have gossip about this? Not really.
I mean, there's, by definition, no, because I feel like gossip has a negative connotation.
Yeah.
But the amount of, I don't know the right word, the amount of press that this show's getting and the amount of credit, the articles in Forbes magazine,
yeah.
Like they're just getting so much
attention.
And I've introduced this show to one of my friends who's, you know, pretty well in the tech industry, and he was watching it, loved it, said it was so credible, said stuff like when Angela was in that meeting and got asked to leave, that he's done that.
What?
And that stuff like that has happened because the biggest, like, you're talking to someone about a breach in security and a hack, the most important thing is the timestamps. And, you know, like, the way that they're doing it is so, so legit, and it keeps across the board, people are just saying how legitimate this show is. So that's really exciting.
Nice, but very well said. Yeah. Also, and the fans are still gravitating. However, it's going up on the ratings, 18 to 49. However, overall, it's losing some of the viewers.
Because it's a smart show.
It is.
Yeah. I think that this show makes people, this show has the potential to make people uncomfortable. You have to think out of the box. You have to think that these things are happening in the world that the government and higher whatever make you try and feel safe. Like, the whole point is we're all supposed to feel safe from this stuff, but in reality we're not 100% protected. Or so I feel like it makes people uncomfortable, it makes people think, and it's hard to kind of follow. It's not hard to follow, but if you're, you know, the person that's watching Dance Moms and then you switch over to Mr. Robot and in the first two episodes you're like, oh, this is cool, you're like, wait, I don't want my brain to have to think.
Yeah,
it's funny, I was gonna say,
but it's smart television.
I had a fellow friend, and she was watching her show. She was watching one of her shows, and I told her I'm going to do Mr. Robot. She said, I tried watching it first 30 minutes, and I had to check out.
Right.
It was too much for me.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I'm telling you, but it's worth it if you just sit there and give it. It's there for you. It's just challenge yourself.
But I think a lot of people, they don't like the wool being pulled out from over their eyes, you know. They like living kind of in a, I don't want to say fantasy, but...
No, they
do. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we'll just call it what it is. I mean, a fantasy. They don't like knowing, okay, I'm being controlled and all of these horrible things are happening around me. And I have, you know, I think by watching it some that time, that makes you feel like you're part of it and like you have to kind of do something, you know, with it.
It's, the irony here is, though, is that it's against corporate, and this guy who's trying to topple corporate America, yet it's being put on by corporate America.
Well, and the irony of all ironies is the fact that they don't care because they've already renewed it for a season two. So the fact that they want this show out there speaks so much. Yeah,
that's because everyone's making money. Else.
Yeah, but if they lose ratings, they're not going to make as much money.
Right.
But they're saying that they're so behind this show that they're willing to lose money to continue to have this show. And maybe that's dramatic. I don't know if they're what the numbers mean as opposed to winning and
losing
money.
It's gaining viewers in 18 to 49, which I hate to say this because as they see it, that's what unfortunately matters in today's landscape, TV landscape, is the 18 to 49 demo. I hate saying that.
Yeah, but that makes sense.
Why do you hate that?
It's just because it shuns a whole part of the other part of the population as well. You know, like after 49, we don't care about those people.
I don't know that it's that dramatic. We care about those people.
Absolutely.
But I feel like by the time you're 50, they're just trying to say that you're, you know, my mom is not, and I love my mom, and she's smart and brilliant, but she's not going to want to watch this show.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Because they're not in the tech. They're not.
Yeah, I think there's
You know what I mean? Like, and I don't think that that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because
I think there's also a sense that people, they want to feel like they can relate to it in some
right.
way. So
and 18 to 49 is a huge demo.
Yeah. That's a really huge
It's growing there. So basically, congratulations, still kicking butt.
Yeah.
And also just one quick shout out for, I know the fans are loving this. Check out, he did a Periscope. And I know you only get a day to watch those, but I'm sure it's on YouTube. And it's a great insight on Rami Malek and his take on... He said he's trying to figure out Elliot. He gets... Like, after episode 3 or 4, he said, I just gave up. I just gave up and just... I went on the ride.
Just watch it.
I love him.
He's fantastic.
I so want to have a whiskey with him.
I think y'all. Hey, so we're putting it
or
out
morphine,
there. Maybe that.
Either one.
No. I do hugs, not drugs. But I'll do the whiskey.
Let's get a prediction. See what we got for next week.
All right.
We kind of talked about it, right? So we see a little more of Tyrell and the wife.
Yeah.
And what's I missed that, Ashley. What do we see there? What do you?
Yeah. I mean. Like I said, it's obvious that they have their ulterior motives. Tyrell obviously wants to be the head of Evil Corp, whether it's his idea to be ahead of it or not, or if it's the wife and she has some underlying scheme that involves Tyrell being the head of Evil Corp.
Money.
I'm still on the fence. Well,
money.
I mean, but there's so many companies that you could, you know, for you to go through all these leaps, I feel like they are specifically targeting Evil Corp. Because it is the largest, most powerful conglomerate. So there has to be some, like, I don't know. I mean, maybe they have a plan that they want to enact, but they can't do it unless they have that power. You know, and they have that attention of being the largest, most powerful conglomerate.
Oh, I'm not even going to say it.
No, just put it out there. Put
have
it out there.
Have you ever seen Runaway Jury?
Yes.
No.
Is this like that? Like, there's some instance, you know, because we touch on how Elliot's dad died from this. There's some instance that happened. They've just been plotting forever to, like, go back against this company.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Now I'm going to have to add that to my viewing.
Again, you know, it just sparks something. I'm not as scared to say it. You know, someone might say something that might make someone else think of something that actually works.
All right, I'm going to watch that. Like I said, I'm going to watch
it. It's a great movie, John.
Runaway Jury.
All right, so now the virus is in All Safe.
Yeah.
So now they're completely exposed at this point.
And
anybody
this is
can attack
good
them.
Because we didn't. Gideon. I'm thinking about Gideon.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gideon is still ultra suspicious. And now, last week, with what happened with Elliot, Elliot has a motive.
Yeah.
And it's still sticking on into his side. That I'm trying to figure out what's going on that server. And Romero said we're still in there, which we all know. Mm-hmm. So when is Gideon going to find out?
Yeah. Well, he's going to find out. But Angela plants it that Ollie actually was the one to do it.
Yeah.
So it's scapegoat.
Scapegoat. So you're saying Ollie's going down?
Yeah, he'll be gone.
What?
And his character. I don't think his character. He could not be on the show. Next week could be his last episode, and it'd be okay. I think.
Okay, that's a great prediction. Let us know what you think, guys. This wraps us up for another episode of Mr. Robot Steph. Where can they find you?
You guys can find me on all social media at IAMSTEFZ.
Hey guys, Ashley Chapman. Find me on Twitter, Ashley_Chapman, or Instagram at the Ashley Chapman.
And a quick shout out to Steve Kaufman. Hope to see you back next week. You can follow me, JC Rubio TV, on Instagram and Twitter. And of course, James, where can they find you, buddy?
At THEE Jimbo Slice on Twitter.
THEE Jimbo Slice on Twitter.
THEE.
Kind of in love with that.
A lot of code, a lot of words. So for James, the lovely Steph and Ashley, I'm JC. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.